Blog Talk Radio.
What path or religion are you in your pursuit of, for your first job, working as an intern with Will Smith, you say to them, look, I have to have the Sabbath off, which may I just confess that I learned in my first meeting with Devon, all these years I thought the Sabbath was Sunday.
Yeah.
I've been going to church. We say worship on the Sabbath, worship on the Sabbath in the Baptist church. And you corrected me and you said, no, Sunday is the first day of the week. Yeah. Sabbath is Friday sundown to Saturday sundown.
That's right. That's
right. I stand corrected.
Amen.
So you go to your first job with Will Smith and say, look, I'm really excited to be here, but I have to have Friday.
Friday night sundown, Saturday night sundown off.
I think it's important to mention that there have been nearly 400 treaties written by the United States in good faith with the Indians, and every single one of them was abrogated. Means broken or changed or altered.
International countries. That's a good thing.
And what's flashing? New York, New York. What's flashing on the international side? 101-612. 101-612. I'm not going to even try to come up with what it's 101-612. I'll leave that for Mr. Tibbs to tell me a little bit later. All right, good enough. So got a lot of memos on the table. Got memos coming in as we speak. And we got a lot of memos on the table. But what we're going to do, we're just going to, while I'm looking at a couple of memos, we think we're going to bring in Camp 4. And she got a report that she want to bring in on Claudette. Well, Mr. Tibbs, he finally arrived to the network, so now I guess we can give Mr. Tibbs up first, and we'll get him to let us know we'll bring his broadcast, then we'll go from there. 195 International Conscious, 101-612 in the room, 101-612. Mr. Tibbs, he'll tell you exactly what is 101-612, what that means, and we'll bring him in, and after that we have a report from Camp 4. She have a message she wanted to lay on this network on some research that she have did. So we'll take a look at what Camp 4 got brewing up to add on to the program. So it's all about adding to the program. So Camp 4 out of Detroit, Michigan said, "Well, I got something." I said, "What you got? Will it add to the program?" "Yes. I'm gonna bring something that add to the program." And that's what it's all about, C. Roy. Add to the program. If you got something, bring it on. It adds to the program. So we're going to bring Mr. Tibbs in first, and we'll get something going on. Remember, this is called a special edition called Thursday Evening. My time is flying. Flying, C. Roy. That's what I keep telling you. Get in where you fit in at. So Detroit got something. We'll find out a little bit later what she got, what she working with. We're going to find Mr. Tibbs and bring him in, and he's going to sit the table for the episode part number 21. They got a lot of memos we want to go over anyway. So the more conversation I hear, the more I can peep at what I'm trying to look at based upon the series we're on now, because they're coming out the woodwork, and they're making profound statements, and they didn't know it, that what they know now from the Six Anointed Camps of Voices of the True Israelite. But remember, we haven't even got started yet on this series yet. We got a long way on this. We haven't even got started on this series yet. We just getting warmed up on this part number 21. This series is going to be just as long as the last one, I believe. So when you meet your brother, with a loud voice you say, "Brother Mr. Tibbs, Yahuwah be with you there, C. Roy."
And Yahuwah bless you, Brother C. Israel or C. Roy. Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
Hallelujah, Yahuwah, Mr. Tim. Well, we got a fine audience on the network. But like I said again, we got a lot of work to do, and we got a lot of things to put on the table, but we got to take one step at a time, like you said. A man or a woman can only do what a man and woman can do. And that's why we got to get this thing lined up. We got to lay it just right. We got to lay the foundation where it's just that smooth. 195 International Countries logged in. 101-612 live online class. Now, Mr. Till, what you got to say about the 101-612 class that's going to be tuning in for part number 21? So what did Yahuwah put on you to bring to tape number 21, special edition called Thursday Evening? You're on the clock. Come on.
First of all, and consistently, Yahuwah bless you, first of all, Brother Israel, and thank you for bringing me into tonight's broadcast. And also the 1612. We know that we all came to hear those things that most of us can hear. And some listening can never understand, and that's actually a true fact. You can sit and read the verses of the Bible to some people, they can never get it. And to see those things that most of us can see and some can never find. to touch those things that most of us can touch and others can never feel. For the wicked can do none of these things. And you ask yourself why. Well, it's the words of Yahuwah which makes all this and more possible for the righteous. The righteous, as explained in the 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 12 and 13, 12 says, "For the eyes of the Yahuwah are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Yahuwah is against them that do evil." 13, "And who is he that will harm you if he defiles of that which is good?" Well, each time I do notice there's a lot of us that come here for the good of Yahuwah's word, and that's noticed as the increase continues to develop. And also some come not for the good of others, such as to see who's attending, what we're talking about, and who they like and don't like. Well, these are the ones that have to realize that we're here for one reason and one reason only, and that's for the word of Yahuwah. So knowing that, we welcome and thank all of you for attending another live broadcast of Yahuwah's ministry, coming to you live and open to you always with new and exciting topics from the King James Bible about Yahuwah's word, your health, foods that you should eat, and keeping the Sabbath days. And we do this because you have knocked, and you came to seek, and you found that which you have sought. And Yahuwah's ministry that's open unto you from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. And the days we're open is Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, Thursday. We don't have a class on Tuesday unless we have an announced special event. But we do have a Sabbath class. The top part of the Sabbath is Friday from 6:30 to 9:30 until the temple members desire to leave. The bottom part of the Sabbath is Saturday. That temple class starts at 12 p.m. and the online class starts at 2 to 5 p.m., once again, until the temple members desire to leave. We also have a website address. To use this, open any search engine on any one of your smart devices. Right on the search line, enter www.tribehdh.com. Just under that line, you're going to see some choices. One of these is going to be tithes and offerings. Click PayPal and follow the instructions. On any of your other devices, it may appear to be a little different. You might see menu. Again, clicking this, you'll see choices. Still choose tithes and offerings and follow the same instructions as you did for previous use. Doing so, remember what it tells all of us in the book of Psalms, chapter 96, verse 7 and verse 8. Verse 7 says, "Give unto Yahuwah, O ye kindreds of the people. Give unto Yahuwah glory and strength." 8. "Give unto the Yahuwah the glory due unto his name, bring an offering and come into his courts." I always remind everyone when doing this to remember that Yahuwah loves a cheerful giver. And also donations to this ministry is greatly appreciated that you give what's in your mind to keep this ministry bringing you Thus Says Yahuwah live. Also to build a school, banquet hall, and land to grow the health foods we continue to speak of on this program. Hallelujah. Also, while there, check the calendar to stay in tune with the feast days that come to you and your family throughout the year. For the live program, this is a feature that's only available during the live broadcast time. To get there, open up any search engine. Right on that search line, type three words, Yahuwah Radio Live. After you click enter, look for True Name Teachers. Click the red live button as soon as this appears, and you'll be right into our live online broadcast. We currently have two email addresses. The first, which is tribe, that's tribehdh.com, to write your written opinions, questions answered of a biblical subject, or related topics. The other is yhdhysraeal@gmail.com, also for biblical subject or related topics. We have a few numbers to reach Yahuwah's ministry also. Considerably think to use them before broadcast time or afterwards would greatly be appreciated as not to disturb Yahuwah's word, because there's a few verses from the Bible that explain why. In the book of Sirach, chapter 11, verse number 8 says, "Answer not before thou have heard the cause, neither interrupt men in the midst of their talk." in James chapter 1, verse 26. 26 says, if any man or woman among you seem to be religious and bridle not his or her tongue, but deceiveth his or her own mind, this man or woman's religion is vain. But as I continue to see, and most of us still notice, there are still those that do the opposite of what the scriptures say. Call during the program announcement or cause disruptions when the words of Yahuwah are being spoken unto you. I suppose they may not be familiar with what Yahuwah the Son has said in the book of Matthew, chapter 22, verse 29. 29 says, Yahuwah the Son answered and said unto them, ye do err, not knowing the scripture, nor the power of Yahuwah. Also, we find it extremely necessary to mention, please by no means contact the seer directly for questions via voicemail, email, or text. He is usually pretty busy answering many memos, as most of us have seen before, even having thoughts of running just a memo show. Responding to the WCC, the New York station stockholder, Mr. Cigar Man, and most of all, what's mostly important, is preparing Yahuwah's lessons before our program starts. Remember, the seer is also only one man, limited by Yahuwah's creation to only 100% of what one man can do. So please place all your calls to the international line. You will receive a call back if it's legit, because many of our questions can be answered directly by one of our anointed camps. Thank you for your consideration. Yahuwah be with you all. Now, the numbers you can righteously call with Yahuwah in mind, the first is our live conference room number, which is 319-527-6065. The other is 224-600-5579. This is our international number, as I previously mentioned before. You can call and leave a message on scriptures, on questions that you have, which can be answered again by any one of our six anointed camps of Yahuwah's ministry, but again, not the seer. He's often tried to exceed Yahuwah's creation of 100%, and he found that this is impossible, as quoted in Matthew's 19:26. Should take note, Zebra. Now, for those of you who have missed the beginning of our program, you can always listen to the entire show at 9:15 p.m., of course, except for Fridays. This program is repeated at 9:45 p.m. To get there, open up any search engine on any one of your smart devices. Right on the search line, type three words, Yahuwah Radio Live. After you click enter, look for True Name Teachers. Choose the program that you will late login into or any previous day that you would like to listen. Another note that we have been adding recently in our program is letting everyone know we're making it possible to get a CD recording or a DVD recording of any program for a number of days or any particular day. Call the international line to place your order. While today is another day for Yahuwah's Word, we're beginning to find out Yahuwah's Word is getting more and more exciting. We can tell because a lot of people have started to come to hear more about Yahuwah's Word, which is a good thing. And some come and they add on to what we have to say. But we find out there are those that only want to hear certain verses in the Bible, which is a shame, following by those taking the verse's meaning another way, along with noisemakers, complainers, wanting to be a deceptive listener, flipping the pages in the Bible when they're around to look like they're paying attention, but are lost when they're called to speak the words of Yahuwah. They're clearly forgotten that we are only one man or one woman. And seriously, time is not in our favor. But remember, the best is yet to come. We can only do 100% of what a man or a woman that was created by Yahuwah to do in this lifetime. And that if that's all possible. Because anyone ever says they've even done more than 101%, they just lie. Now they're doing the work of another, past Yahuwah's creation. That's impossible. Don't forget what Yahuwah the Son said in Matthew 19, verse 26. 26 says, Yahuwah the Son beheld them and said unto them, With men, this is impossible. But with Yahweh, all things are possible. So we began to look at what the Bible tells us as a man or woman. We're measured by our works, the things we think, do, and say. We find this affects people quite often, and even ourselves. We look at the book of James, chapter 2, verse 18. 18 says, yea, a man or woman may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. In James chapter 1, verse 25 says, but whosoever look into the perfect law of liberty and continueth there within, he or she being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man or woman shall be blessed in his or her deeds. That's why when we bring you the word of Yahweh, we always want to bring it to you as quoted in the Bible. We want to get that James 5:20. Should be taking notes on what these scriptures mean. When a teacher teaches, he expects that he always has to show worthiness, because the teacher that opens the door for his student, remember, he has to walk through it, because there are those that ask questions for learning and those that ask to see if you just know or to trip you up. That's why I say a teacher can't learn from his students. But already having knowledge, the teacher even gains more experience by teaching, because he already knows. A student now, on the other hand, can learn from a good teacher, possibly learning to share the knowledge with others that he or she has learned. I even have to admit this applies to myself when sharing knowledge. So I'll probably leave you with Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7. Verse 7 says, remember them which rule over you, who have spoken to the word of Yahweh, whose faith follows, considering the end of their conversation. So at this particular time, we will turn our program back to our seer Israel. Keep those Bibles open. Remember to take notes. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Mr. Tills. Like you said, these telephones, you definitely say don't make no calls between certain hours, but I guess you keep on pounding, and then they'll understand that that you got to keep going, no doubt about it. All right, that excellent Tills. We'll catch you back on the second half, and we also in the Six Anointed Camps, we always say when you got something, you will say, I got something. So in our conclusion on when you say you got something, that means to add on to what we already doing. That's one thing about it. We all together as one in Six Anointed Camps. So Detroit, Michigan said, she said, see, I got something. I said, what, you got something? Yeah, well, I said, what you got to do is add to the broadcast? Yes. Okay, good. Well, I'll tell you what, then whatever you got, whatever it is, bring it on, and we'll get ready on what you got. If you got something, we'll say in the end of the class, I got something. So we know when you say you got something, that means you could add to the broadcast. So we're going to swing out there around Detroit, Michigan, and around Camp 4 and see exactly what do Sister Liora Israel C. Ray, the princess, got. What has she got to add to the broadcast? We're going to bring up and see what you got. She said, I got something. Let's find out what she got. So when you meet your sister out there around Detroit, Michigan, coming out of Camp 4, what a loud voice you say, Sister Liora Israel, princess. Yahweh Israel C. Ray.
Yahweh bless you, seer of Israel, of seed royal. Alleluia, Yahweh Israel, and the listeners of Voices of the True Israelite.
All right. It sounds like you sound all right to me, and I like the energy. So you did say you had something that can add to the broadcast of what we're dealing with. So we know every time somebody out of the Sixth Anointing Camp say, I got something, that must mean to add on to what is said. So Camp 4, what you got to add to the broadcast, 195 international countries, 100,000, 100, 600, 1, 2, whatever got it, is listening. So you got the flow. Camp 4, Detroit, Michigan, you're on the clock. Come on.
It is necessary to be spiritually healthy and knowledgeable as well as physically healthy. This segment is on purple corn. It is a Peruvian food, and Peruvian is polluted for Issachar. Purple corn is a healthy, powerful food. It has many beneficial properties, and some of the properties are it's a powerful antioxidant. And that is reported in a journal of nutrition. And it's good with a compound called CG3, and that helps with obesity, and it helps with diabetes. Another benefit is that it lowers blood pressure. In a 2000 issue of the Journal of Nutritional Science, it states that purple corn lowers blood pressure and heart rate. So that is a good thing. It also is healthy for the kidneys. It prevents hardening of the arteries. That is a wonderful thing. It also helps with eye health because it has lutein in it and xanthan. So these are some of the benefits of purple corn. Now it comes in seeds, which you can purchase. It comes in a flour, and it comes in a powder. So you're able to utilize this by making a drink that is very healthy for you to get those benefits that I just discussed. And if you want to utilize it as a drink, you would get a bag of dried purple corn, 16 cups of water, 3 whole cinnamon sticks, 5 whole cloves, a whole pineapple that is diced. You would put in about 1.5 cups of honey, a half a cup of lime juice, and a green apple. And you would process this stuff in a blender, strain it, and then you would drink it so that you can get the health benefits that have just been spoken about. It also comes in a powder form if you're on the go. So you would just mix that with water, and it's a short process to the recipe that was just given for the drink. Also, you can buy the seeds and grow it in your own garden, and then you would have the freshest use of it. So that is this segment on purple corn and its benefits. And I'm going to hand the show back over to the Seer of Israel, of Seed Royal.
Hallelujah, that's excellent. Camp 4, Detroit, Michigan, that's excellent. So you say it's a purple corn out here, and it's purple corn that you gave details on where it's at. And that's a good thing, because one thing about it, we have to figure out, we must now bring to the table. So we'll look for a part two.
It's a Peruvian drink, which is, you know, polluted for Issachar, and it grows wild in Peru. So
wild is a good thing, because wild means they've been tamed by the 17 nations. See, the 17
Correct.
Nations, they love to tame things. They love to grab something and tame it. They look forward to taming everything to fit themselves. So that's a good thing that it grows there, and then the 17 nations, they come and tame it. Then they'll corner the market, and then they'll come up with it like they know about it all the time, but they came and peaked out your freedom called, that they call liberty, and then they'll take it and bottle it up and put it in the package, and they'll swear up and down that they is the author of it, but it don't work like that. That's excellent there.
And you also want the Peruvian / Issachar version of it, because you don't want a hybrid of it. So that's the purest form of it. And that can be purchased over here. When you get your products, if it's powder, whether it's the kernels or whether it's the flour, you wanna see that it's non-hybrid. And the common people will use the word Peruvian, but you know that's polluted for Issachar. But if you buy those products, that's what you're looking for. The Peruvian products that are non-hybrid.
Mhm. That's right. That's exactly right. I like that Detroit out there in Camp Ford, Detroit, Michigan. I like that, and that's what it's all about. It's all about hands. See, we know this is a big job ahead of us. That's a great thing, and we will do some more. Research and see what else you can bring. And matter of fact, we'll bring you back in the second half and repeat the same thing again, because that's a report that needs to be heard based upon our help. So like I said again, can I had a call based upon our help, and I was explaining to this dignitary that what happens with our health by us not knowing how we as a people of 12 tribes of Israel, they cannot consume what the other nation consumes. But then we'll take up cooking classes from our parents and whatever. And what happened, we'll do the same thing our mothers and grandmothers have cooked. And that right there is the reason why we end up with problems we die before our time. That's why we tell the people that coming into the Six Anointed Camps, come in with big ears and a little mouth, but we can help you. Help yourself and your better half. So here's the point. When you cooking for your better half, and the food he intakes in on that day, if you don't find out if that food has been eliminated before you add another food onto it, you be killing the man about not knowing that whatever you got in your system today, before the big dinner meal tomorrow, it got to be out of your system. You can't take Monday's eating, Tuesday's eating, Wednesday's eating, hottest inside of your stomach is, and have all three of them meals together packed in your system and wonder why the man don't feel good. This is what causes a man to lose everything. He's drowsy, dragging to work, dragging home, falling asleep. because you have to have more information how to feed this man. You can't feed him what the world eats. You got to feed him according to the Bible, anointed to Israel. Whatever you feed him on, what's the day? Thursday. Then that food got to get out of his system before you feed him Friday. So you got to chat with him. Did you, have you eliminated what's in you? Well, no, it's still there. Well, there's no need me feeding you anything else. Now I got to find out how to get that stuff out your system. Because you got Wednesday food in your stomach, Tuesday food in your stomach, and that's what caused the toxic buildup to your arteries and causes a problem in your belly and your colon problem. You sluggish. You got no energy because you got 2-3 days of built-up mucus in your body, toxic waste. That means mess. Have now humped itself to devil. And the worst thing you can give an Israelite man, you sitting down and he eating steak, mashed potatoes, and macaroni, and whatever. Steak, beans, and macaroni. That's the worstest meal you can give a Israelite man. That is not going to help him. That's going to put him to his grave early for his time. You got to seek counseling from the six anointed camps. What to put in an Israelite man's belly. Not what your parents have showed you to cook. All them dough biscuits and all them cakes and all. Israelites do not eat that. That's why they die in your lap. Want to know why? Why did he die? You killed the man by not having the knowledge to know what to put in an Israelite. He can't eat what the world eats. If you want the man to be on his feet, then you got to take counsel from the six anointed counsel and learn how to feed the man. You got to first put him on a 12-weeks, get the garbage out of the system first. 12 weeks. In that 12 weeks, you must exercise. In that 12 weeks, you must have your ass stepper where your fragile bones, you can get out the bed and get on the ass stepper. Don't go all the way down. Don't go all the way up. Get in between, but you can build your muscles. You got the three exercises in your bed. You got to help the man get on his feet. Not destroy the man with not knowing because you got the grease. Keep that in your mind. So that just on the fact that because the coin came up. So we got to do the right things, and you got to see counseling to be able to eat the right stuff in your system. The stuff that the other 17 nations eat, you cannot be the Israelite man, none of that stuff. Beans, rice, chicken, and cow. The Israelite man, that is destruction to him. Mashed potatoes is destruction to him. Not to the other 17 nations, not you. Now, if you're cooking for the 17 nations, you go ahead, you cook them all that you want. Steak and eggs and potatoes and steak, eggs and potatoes and tell them go eat it. It won't affect them, but it'll affect the Israelite man. That's why you got to pay attention. You got to seek counsel from the six anointed counsel on how to get someone of an Israelite descent on their feet. And when you got these offsprings of Israelite, you can't feed them that red beans and rice and all that kind of stuff. That you can't do that because you're damaging their bodies from the inside. Now, but solutions here. 12 weeks. Got to detox with green stuff. You got to detox with green stuff to your juicer. Get it back on its feet. green stuff. Three containers a day, half a gallon of spring water, make him a salad with cucumbers and all this salad stuff together. Take that, put it in his lunch basket. Take this with you to go to work. Then he brushed that stuff out. Even the next thing, see, he started to eliminate that stuff, pulling them toxins out of his body. You got 5 to 50 pounds of toxins, boo-boo, built up in your system. Your colon can't take it. As time go on, he's going to get worse and worse. He's going to drop dead. And you don't know why he dropped dead. Because you didn't see counseling about what you got to clean that garbage out of his system. He got to feel clean inside. Huh? Clean. Then what you'll notice once the 12 weeks is up, you'll notice he will not have the drag in his feet. He'll start kind of like not walking on his tippy toes, but he has no bounce to it. Then you'll see the progress. You won't see no drag. He has dragging feet. He got a bounce. You remember a song called Bounce to the Ounce? He has a more bounce to him. Why? Because you have cleared his colon out. His stomach ain't full of all that stuff, macaroni and cheese and dairy products and milk drinking. Milk is for the cows. Eggs, bacon, and all that kind of stuff in his system. Fried food all in his system. He can't perform. Killing him. And like I told his big dignitary, I said, well, the reason is you're killing him. You're killing him. Well, what am I doing wrong? Well, see, I left 3 messages, so I found that answer the thing, message. I don't know why that message was not returned back. That you killing him. You're killing your better half on what you're feeding. Well, I learned how to, but all that food right there was for the 17 nations. Whatever you feed this man today, Thursday, that means he must have elimination Wednesday. Will that happen Wednesday? He's supposed to eliminate before he eat Thursday meal. So that means, baby, that you have you eliminated what we had yesterday? No, I said my system. Why? Ain't nothing for you to eat. You just take your salad, but you're gone out, and that's it. You got to get rid of Wednesday food before you pack in with Thursday food. Some people got Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, all this food in their system. And you wonder what's the problem. You're killing him. And he's too weak to fight. Because he thinks you own something. And then you want to know why he dropped dead. Why he got high blood pressure pills. He got diabetes problem. You got all these problems because you're killing what you put in his system. So you got to learn something. We're here to teach you how to help him. And just like we say, and you have to be a Rebecca to him. A Rebecca to him. We're going to read a little bit more about that a little later. That's enough said on that. Okay, that all came out behind what you said there. Now, Brother Yadav Israel, I need for you to look up me something. I need you to look up me something. What did Pope Pius do in 455? Pope Pius doing Pope 55. What did he do? I need some information on Pope Pius. I know we did this years ago, but see now it really came around in grand style. And then another thing, you got you got some big dignitaries, cardinals. I'm not gonna aim at the cardinals because they of color, because I understand the strategy were behind. That long as you can get me and the one that look like me go at each other, then you sit back like the puppet on the string. No, I know all about you, big dignitaries. I'm not gonna say nothing about the two cardinals that is in the Roman Catholic Church because they are color. I'm not gonna pick nothing with them, but I'm gonna educate them along the way. Because I recognize tactics when you got tactics to see will they or will I. I'm going to get on some Guadalupe some more too. But I'm going to do it the way Yahweh lead me to do it. because I know about your hidden hand through the memos and through everything else. You ain't going to have me wrestling with a misinformed brother or sister, knowing the fact you behind everything. And I'm going to reveal you first. Then and hope the brothers and sisters to understand that you've been bewitched teaching that you have got. And we're going to expose all that in this series of the fiery destruction of Christianity and the great beast, the Roman Catholic Church. We're going to expose all that in this lesson. So we very well your tactics are what you're trying to use, but it ain't going to work. Because you got too many misinformed 9 northern tribes. They misinformed 100% Roman Catholic Church. They've been misinformed through you. And I'm going to expose you first. Then I will get to my brothers and my sisters. Hope they will catch on to the way Yahuwah lead this lesson. But I'm not going to simply aim in on them because they've been misinformed. I'm going to get on the ones that have misinformed them. So you got that? Good. Now, so I want to know what happened in 455 there. What Pope Pius, what did he say in 455? So give you a chance to look for that, Brother Yahdai Israel. And something else. I've been looking at these memos while I was there. And something else I want to get at. I want to get at that. Like I said, again, 3 hours, really, it ain't long enough. By the time we get going, it's time to shut it down. But like I said, again, that's why we know it's going to be a long series because they keep on bringing up stuff that and adding stuff, and we just don't know. And we'll do like the Berea, we check it out and see. And we see holes in that. So we see holes in what you're trying to present. But we're not going to – and then I want you to look – I want to find out what it – what saint, I forgot her name now. This is the name that Brother Yahdai Israel. Her name is, F-A-T-I-M-A. She's a saint. I want to know, what did she say that she seen in 1936? What did she see in 1936? Her name is Saint Fina. Well, okay, forget it. I ain't trying to pronounce the name. F-A-T-I-M-A. The Miracles of F-A-T-I-M-A. She's a saint. I don't know what did she see in 1936. What did she see before we get at that? And the big bishops, this won't be the lesson that I even look at you because I won't look at this hidden hand, what behind everything, what fascinates all of us to run behind a people that Yahuwah have by his records have condemned them to damnation. I want to know more about that. So that's what we're going to take a look at. Now, all right, so now that's what we're going to get on. And some else, one more, I got another article. I want to take a look at something there. I look at this memo. I want to take a look at this memo, too, there, Brother Yark. Okay, this is another memo I want to look at. I want you to give me something on it. Just get enough just to wet my beak. I want you to look at what happened in 1838 about the Jesuit priest. The Jesuit priest, now you know, I don't know who the Pope was right now in 1838, but we know one thing, the Jesuits, like Mr. Tills was talking about earlier, they are professional military people, so we call it Jesuits. Now this is what the Jesuits is doing there, Brother Yahdai Israel. The Jesuit pledged, they pledged P-L-E-D-G-E, to raise $100 million for reparation for what they have did to the black descendants by getting free slave, buying slaves, free slave labor, and building up Jones Town and Jones, the college called, I forgot the name right now, but I won't know what happened in 1838 about the Jesuits, but whoever the Pope was at that time. But see, they gonna pay, they pledged to pay $100 million of reparation to, but where is that money going to? That we gonna find out. Where are you gonna take this $100 million? And what are you gonna do? You gonna do like the preachers do? He passed the around it. He said, look here, I'm opened up by putting $100 in myself. So if I put $100 in, you got a good idea how many you gonna put up in there. Then the same token, he'll file that box and grab his $100 out. $100 million. We don't know about this $100 million. Where is this going? Who's supposed to be over this $100 million? Now, who's supposed to be over this $100 million? This is a sixth and ninth council boss over to Israelite. If you're gonna pay back what they did to in 1838, you know, and you feel about if you pay, this will benefit them because you have enslaved them and had them to build up your country. And but their college, forgot their college name. I forgot their college name right now. So you know, and so they say they're gonna do a good deed to the ones, the families of these descendants that built up their community by buying slaves. Oh yeah, you know, your record go back a long way from buying slaves to build your country up. So, but we don't know who was these slaves that you bought. The slaves got to have a name. Who was the name of these slaves that you said they were slaves that built your country? And the Pope says they're gonna pay this money back. But the Jesuits doing the talking. They pledged to pay $100 million back reparation for this. So we'll find out a little bit more about that, Father Yahdai Israel. Then, I want to look at this Saint, F-A-T-I-M-A. You know, the miracles of her. What did she do in 1936? And I knew we said we were going to talk about the cardinals. No, we're not gonna do that right now, because you're trying to rattle some up on one end, knowing that you about something else on another end. So now we see through the spirit of Yahweh. So now we ain't worried about that. So we're gonna scroll down and get Brother Yahdai Israel. Let's see if we get some on the table. Remember one thing: we on six nights a week, and every day we got something new come on the table. Always something come up. And that's a good thing, because a lot of things must be exposed, and we're going to expose it all. It's the six anointed camps of voices of the true Israelites. Now, I don't see Brother Yahdai Israel, unless he hang around here. I don't really. I'm in live or what? I don't know what. Brother Yahdai Israel. I'll be there, Steve Roy.
My bless you, Steve Israel.
Well, you sound like a thousand miles away. Sound like you a thousand miles away, Brother Yahdai Israel. Put you on one of them working with over there, Brother Yahdai Israel. What is he working with? Brother Yahdai Israel, what you working with? Even if Double C don't know what you're working with. I got to send this lesson on what I'm going to get. Because I got to go another direction. Because I really want to get at some good stuff here. Things I want to get at today, but I guess I got put off another day. Only Yahweh knows. Only Yahweh knows. So, Brother Yahdai Israel, just gotta put off another day on what we need to bring to the table. Put off another day. I mean, these memos are something else. Hey, I gotta find out more about this. It don't mean nothing to me. I'm gonna find out more about it. About this. What the Jesuits did in 1838, now they played. So you know, what they say they gonna give this money to the descendants of the enslaved peoples historically that owned slaves by the Jesuits. So the Jesuits had slave owners. Yeah, well, see, but Jesuits didn't do nothing without the Pope. I got to find out what Pope was that was in, what Pope that was in 1838, because whoever the Pope is today, they gonna get this money up and pay those that built up this township, and we want to know a little bit more about it. I know we're looking at the record, but we ain't gonna say nothing. We want to make sure it's read out exactly what they're up to. You know, although we're looking at the information, but we ain't going to bring it out. We just going to let wait on it, bring it out. But, Brother Yahdai Israel, your microphone is not working, and WCC said they can't hear you. And so they the boss of the station. So I'm going to say again to you, let me get you one more time and say, Yahweh be to that, Brother Yahdai Israel, see right. Ain't gonna work. Whatever you own ain't gonna work. That ain't gonna work there, Brother Yahdai Israel. That ain't gonna work. Whatever you own ain't gonna work. So that part ain't gonna work. So I tell you what, we just catch you eyeball Thursday evening. Catch you Thursday evening because we wanna take a look at some good stuff here. Friday, eyeball to eyeball. So we'll put that to the side. We'll go another way now. We're just going to go another way. We'll go another way. I tell you, we'll go another. Let's find out which way to go. Let's see if we go find Sister G. Israel and bring her in and see if we get something going on with Sister G. Israel. And we'll just make a little detour on some things, and we'll come at all this information another time. Listen to WCC. Yeah, your information can get you cut off. Well, you know, I care less if I didn't talk. That don't scare me. I cut me off. The box can't have been lit. The curtain hair went up. No problem about that. Sister G. Israel, coming out of tribe of Yahdai Judah. Yahweh bless you, Seed Royal.
Yahweh bless you, Seer Israel of Seed Royal. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Sister G. Israel. G. Israel, we're going to see if we get something going on around here. We'll suspend a few things and come again later on that, but we can go another way. How about a little Luke, chapter 12, verse 12, and see what we're working with there. Come on.
Luke, chapter 12. Verse 12. Luke chapter 12, verse 12. For the righteous spirit shall teach you in the same hour what you ought to say.
That's right. In that very same hour, the righteous spirit will teach you what you ought to say, and that's a good thing. I want to open up in the book of Jasher, because like I said, again, I don't know these international calls wasn't answered, but it's legit. We want to know more about what can we do and how to help ourselves if we get in relationships. That's a good thing. Well, that could have been answered. We're going to check and see why that wasn't answered. But I want to open up in the book of Jasher, Jezreel. We'll make a detour. Let's go to the book of Jasher. And I want to look at the 21st chapter of Jasher. And I want to pick it up at verse 24. Verse 24. And take it down to verse number 37. Let's see what we can get out of this. Take number 21. And we go on to the book of Jasher, chapter 21, verse 24. And take it down to verse number 37. That's my final verdict. You on the clock, come on.
Jasher, chapter 21, verses 24 through 37. Hold on a second.
Mm-hmm. We'll take a look at some of that.
Jasher, chapter 21, verse 24. Abraham went to the wilderness. Abraham went to the wilderness and reached the tent of Ishmael about noon, and he asked after Ishmael. He found the wife of Ishmael sitting in the tent with her children, and Ishmael, her husband, and his mother were not with them. 25. Abraham asked the wife of Ishmael, saying, "Where has Ishmael gone?" And she said, "He has gone to the field to hunt." Abraham was still mounted on the camel, for he would not get off to the ground, as he had sworn to his wife Sarah that he would not get off from the camel. 26. And Abraham said to Ishmael's wife, "My daughter, give me a little water that I may drink, for I am fatigued from the journey." 27. And Ishmael's wife answered and said to Abraham, "We have neither water nor bread." She continued sitting in the tent and did not notice Abraham. Neither did she ask him who he was. 28. But she was beating her children in the tent, and she was cursing them. And she also cursed her husband Ishmael and reproached him. Abraham heard the words of Ishmael's wife to her children, and he was very angry and displeased. 29. Abraham called to the woman to come out to him from the tent, and the woman came and stood opposite to Abraham, for Abraham was still mounted on the camel. Verse 30. And Abraham said to Ishmael's wife, "When your husband Ishmael returns home, say these words to him." 31. "A very old man from the land of the Philistines came here to seek you, and thus was his appearance and figure. I did not ask him who he was, and seeing you were not here, he spoke to me and said, 'When Ishmael, your husband, returns, tell him thus did this man say: When you come home, put away this nail of the tent which you have placed here, and place another nail in its stead.'" 32. Abraham finished his instructions to the woman, and he returned and went off on the camel homeward. 33. After that, Ishmael came from the hunt by him and his mother and returned to the tent. And his wife spoke these words to him. 34. A very old man from the land of the Philistines came to seek you, and thus was his appearance and figure. I did not ask him who he was, and seeing you were not at home, he said to me, when your husband comes home, tell him, thus says the old man, put away the nail of the tent which you have placed here, and place another nail in its stead. 35. Ishmael heard the words of his wife, and he knew that it was his father, and that his wife did not honor him. 36. And Ishmael understood his father's words that he had spoken to his wife, and Ishmael listened to the voice of his father. Ishmael cast off that woman, and she went away. 37. Ishmael afterward went to the land of Canaan, and he took another wife, and he brought her to his tent, to the place where he then lived.
So you see what he did? So, you know, and we're not reading that in Genesis chapter 18. Yahweh said that, he said in 18 chapter verse 17 through 19, he said, I know Abraham going to do the right thing, told the men of spirit. And whenever, whatever he see ain't right, he gonna make a statement about it regardless of the circumstances. And he made a statement, but he trained Ishmael about, you know, things to come, you know, good. Now, so this is what we're trying to say. In a relationship, that's the kind of relationship you don't want to have. Right there, that's it. When you see that's the kind of relationship that you in, that's the kind you don't want to have. Right, good. Because if you have that kind, then this would not work for you. And Sirach 26, verse 1. What it says in Sirach 26, verse 1?
Sirach, chapter 26, verse 1. Sirach, chapter 26, verse 1. Blessed is the man that has a virtuous wife, for the number of his days shall be doubled.
Yeah. So you want to make sure that the numbers of your days to be doubled, and the one way you can make sure that you recognize what you just got to hearing about that woman. But Ishmael knew that his father called it as he seen it, and that was the end of it, so he made the adjustment. See, sometimes we'd be so tied in relationships, we will not make the adjustment knowing that it's that you study getting worse and worse in your body, your mental mind, you struggling all the time. If you don't make the adjustment, then these are the kind of things will be before you. Now, what do you do in a case like that? Now you see what he said? He's taking that nail out and taking that nail back. And then bring him another nail back in. But we're not going to get that. We're going somewhere else. Now we're going to run to and see what kind of woman that you're supposed to be looking for. And that's why it's so important. It's so important to sit around the anointed, six anointed camps and don't keep on backdooring your life, because you're going to always run into trouble. Now, what do you supposed to be looking for? We're going to see, and we're going to use your grandmother for an example. Let's run to Genesis 24, particularly verse 57, and we'll read down to 67. Don't you listen real good. We're just going to run through this right here, but we're going to find out it's going to be more to this. We're going to Genesis 24, 57 through 67, and listen at the contents of this conversation. And Genesis 24, 57 through 67. What does it say there, Sister G. Israel? C. Roy.
Genesis chapter 24, verses 57 through 67. Genesis chapter 24, verse 57. And they said, "We will call the damsel and inquire at her mouth." 58. And they called Rebekah and said unto her, "Will you go with this man?" And she said, "I will go." 59. And they sent away Rebekah, their sister, and her nurse, and Abraham's servant, and his men. 60. And they blessed Rebekah and said unto her, "You are our sister. Be you the mother of thousands of millions, and let your seed possess the gates of those which hate them." 61. And Rebekah arose and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels and followed the man, and the servant took Rebekah and went his way. 62. And Isaac came from the way of the well, Lehabro, for he dwelt in the south country. 63. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the evening tide. And he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. 64. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel. 65. For she had said unto the servant, "What man is this that walketh in the field to meet us?" And the servant had said, "It is my master." Therefore she took a veil and covered herself. 66. And the servant told Isaac all things that he had done. 67. And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent and took Rebekah, and she became his wife. And he loved her, and Isaac was comforted after his mother's death.
Mm-hmm. Now you see, but what was he doing in, what was this man doing called Isaac? What was he doing in 2463? What was he doing?
And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the evening tide. And he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming.
Mm-hmm. So what he was, a man of Yahuwah. So he was a man of Yahuwah, and what he was doing, he was around prayer time, so he was, doing what's called being a 37 verse 12. What do we say at 37 verse 12 of Sarah? What do it say in 37 verse 12 there? Let me write that verse down, 37 verse 12. I'm interested in that verse myself. 37 verse 12. What does it say?
Sirach, chapter 37, verse 12. "But be continually with a Yahwali man whom you knowest, to keep the Torah instructions of Yahuwah, whose mind is according to your mind, and will sorrow with you if you shall miscarry."
Excellent there. So there you go there. So you see, now when you do the 724 of St. John for whatever means, you are not good. What it says in 724 of St. John? What it says in 724 there to G Israel?
John chapter 7, verse 24. "Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment."
Mm-hmm. And righteous judgment means a Torah keeper. So when you got these offsprings of cousins, nieces, and nephews, and they come and tell you what they're getting ready to do, then that's why it's so wise to tell them, well, I got to take you to the six anointed camps for them to show you what to do, because if I tell you what my mind or what I did or what my mama or my grandmama did, I can steer you wrong. But what's going to stand is what the Bible says will work. So it's best to understand the counseling of this book. And this is your example. So now we find out that he was a Yahwali man. And he went out to, and then the woman came to him. And he took her into his thing. But we will go and get into their thing. And we understand that is contrary to the book. You got to make sure that she come to your thing, not you go to her thing. It got to be your thing if you will do Bible. Do you doing the back door stuff, and then it's not going to work, and you're going to see through the aches and pain that you go through in a relationship. Now, we're going a little further on that. So now, taking our end right there. Now, Yahweh pulled that verse in St. John 14, verse 1 and 2. Let's see what he says when he pulled that verse. We read that he taken her in, he loved her, and he was comforted. That's good stuff. Let's precept that to St. John 14, verse 1 and 2. Let's get a little bit more into this. St. John 14, verse 1 and 2, because it's a bigger picture. See, that was a shadow of something, but here goes the bigger picture. St. John 14, 1 and 2.
John chapter 14, verses 1 through 2. Let not your mind be troubled. You believe in Yahweh. Believe also in me. 2. In my Father's house, temple, are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you.
See that? So you see how it works? So this is where he was pulled. Rebecca left a father, everything over there, Mesopotamia and everything, and she came, and Isaac was doing the Yahwali thing, and he received her in. He received her in, see, not the other way around. So you do the other way around, that's called the backdoor thing. You can't do the backdoor thing because you coming up of being you are St. John 10:1. What it says, what that make you when you do it the way you want to do it? What that make you in St. John 10:1?
John, verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber.
Ain't that something? You that book talking? That book talking. It talks. See, we be writing down as fast as everybody else will write down. Now, so now let's find what the prophecy of that. So he said, I'm a prepare a place for you, just like Isaac prepared a place for Rebecca. So Rebecca, you know, I want to run back and show you the attributes of Rebecca. Let's run back to the 24th chapter. We're going to show you about, and we might ask you a question, that when you look for a mate, you're looking for a Rebecca. Your grandmother, Rebecca. This is the Rebecca you're looking for. We go and see exactly what did she do. You remember what the woman did when Abraham came? He said, hey, woman, come out and get me a little of that water. I ain't got no water for you. So you see how she was talking? Let's go watch what you look for in a better hand. In fact, Genesis 24. And we'll pick up at verse number 15:22 and 42-46. Now we're going to show you what you look for according to the Bible. Here's what you look for. This is what you got to keep in your mind. Judge not according to appearance. Genesis chapter 24:15-22 and 42-46. What's that, Sister G. Israel? C. Roy, what'd that say?
Genesis chapter 24:15-22 and 42-46. Genesis chapter 24:15. And it came to pass, before he had done speaking, that behold, Rebekah came out, who was born in Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. 16. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin. Neither had any man known her. And she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. 17. And the servant ran to meet her and said, "Let me, I pray you, drink a little water of your pitcher." 18. And she said, "Drink, my Yahweh." And she hasted and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. 19. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, "I will draw water for your camel also until they have done drinking." 20. And she hasted and emptied her pitcher into the trough and ran again unto the well to draw water and drew for all his camels. 21. And the man, wondering at her, held his peace, to wit, whether Yahweh had made his journey prosperous or not. 22. And it came to pass, as the camels had done drinking, that the man took a golden earring of half a shekel weight and two bracelets for her hands of 10 shekels weight of gold. 42. And I came this day unto the well and said, "O Yahweh, Yahweh of my father, of my master Abraham, if now you do prosper my way which I go." 43. Behold, I stand by the well of water, and it shall come to pass that when the virgin cometh forth to draw water, and I say to her, "Give me, I pray you, a little water of your pitcher to drink." 44. And she say to me, "Both drink you, and I will also draw for the camels. Let the same be the woman whom the Yahweh has appointed out for my master's son." 45. And before I had done speaking in my mind, behold, Rebekah came forth with her pitcher on her shoulder, and she went down unto the well and drew water. And I said unto her, "Let me drink, I pray you." 46. And she made haste and let down her pitcher from her shoulder and said, "Drink, and I will give your camels drink also." So I drank, and she made the camels drink also.
Ain't that something? So there you go right there. Now, see, there you go. Now you got, there you got two women. Now, there go the two women. One woman, see what she played over there in the book of Jasper, and you got the Rebekah. So when you're looking for a mate, which one is better for you? The one that say, hey, give me some that water to drink. I ain't got no water for you. Oh, here go another one. Can you give me a little shot of that water you got? Yeah, not only that, And remember, a camel takes about 25 gallons of water. She didn't have nothing but a little pitcher. And she hate did it. She didn't have no drag or feet about doing what she got to do. But it was already set up by Yahweh. That's why you got to make sure you understand what you're doing before you do it. And the six anointed camps can show you what the Bible's saying. Save your many headaches. Now, let's run to Ephesians chapter 5. Let's follow this story a little bit longer. Ephesians 5, 21 through 29 and verse 33. Let's see if we can get a little bit more out of this. Then we're going to put a little prophecy with that, because what happens, the Roman Catholic Church, they have a tendency to paint themselves into everything. But we're going to find out the stories that we hear now. Who is this story pointing toward, or is it a global story? We'll find out later. But right now we're going to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21 to 29 and 33. So the G is ready. You're back on the clock. Come on.
Ephesians chapter 5, verses 21 through 29 and verse Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of Yahweh. 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Yahweh. 23. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Yahweh the Son is the head of the congregation of Israel. And he is the Savior of the body. 24. Therefore, as the assembly congregation of Israel is subject unto Yahweh the Son, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Yahweh the Son also loved the 12 tribes of Israel and gave himself for it. 26. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. 27. That he might present it to himself a glorious, a great congregation, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be righteous and without blemish. 28. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. 29. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, even as Yahweh, the congregation of Israel. 33. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she referenced her husband.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, you made some powerful statement on there, and WCC said we see a whole bunch of churches up in there, and the Roman Catholic Church, then I already said they are the head of the first church was here at the Roman Catholic Church, so they got that going real good. But see, I'm glad you did read the way you did read it, because we're going to precept that to make sure what you think, it was there. Let's go to 1 Kings chapter 8 and pick up at verse 55. Make sure 55 and 65. Let me make sure you think what you think there, you did see it, and you know exactly how to deal with the word called church, because you got the understanding. And 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 55 and 65, let's see if we tie that in exactly what you were saying over there in Ephesians when you ran across the word called church. And you called it the congregation of the children of Israel. but he can leave precept that, to back that up in writing. Let's go to 1 Kings chapter 8 and pick up verse 55 and 65. Let's see if we tie that in.
1 Kings chapter 8, verses 55 and 65. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 55. And he stood and blessed all the congregation of Israel with a loud voice, saying, 65. And at that time Solomon held a feast, and all Israel with him, a great congregation, from the entering in of Hamath unto the river of Egypt, polluted from Mizraim, land of bondage, before thee, Yahweh, our Yahweh, 7 days and seven.
Yeah, that's good. We want to pull out that. What is Israel calling writing again? They call it what?
And
they call
all Israel, a great congregation.
Ain't that something? You see that? So you see, that's how you do it, Six and Army Camp. You see that? Because when you see the word church in the Bible, that means the great congregation of the children of Israel. That's who, and church is a polluted word, but a great congregation of the children of Israel. Let's see what Michael called it in 2 verse 5. What did Michael call it? Michael called this congregation something. He made it plain in Michael 2 verse 5, not being 1 Samuel 28 waiting on you. Michael, chapter 2 verse 5.
Micah chapter 2 verse 5. Therefore you shall have none that shall cast a cord by lot in the congregation of Yahuwah.
Mm-hmm. So the church is the congregation of Yahuwah. And let's make it plain, and let's get us a name in 1 Chronicles 28, because David's going to eyeball something, and all we need is about two and a half, three lines at the most. David's going to eyeball something. And he's going to make up a final statement in 28, verse 1, is giving up to work with, and verse 4. Then we're going to tie it all in verse number. We're going to tie it all in verse number 7 and 8. That's what we're going to do. Let's give us a name over here. See what's going on in 1 Chronicles 28. All we need is about two and a half lines. What did it say there in 28? Verse 1, 2.5 lines. What did it say there, Sister G. Israel?
1 Chronicles, chapter 28, verses 1, 4, and 7 through 8. 1 Chronicles, chapter 28, verse 1. And David assembled all of the princes of Israel, the princes of the tribes.
First book.
For howbeit Yahweh of Israel chose me before all of the nation of my father to be king over Israel forever, for he has chosen Yahweh Judah to be the ruler, and of the nation of Yahweh Judah, the family of my father, and among the sons of my father, he liked me to make me king over all Israel. Verse 7, moreover, I will establish his kingdom forever, if he be constant to do my commandments, my Torah instructions, and my judgments as at this day. 8. Now, therefore, in the sight of all Israel, the congregation of Yahuwah, and in the audience of our Yahuwah, keep and seek for all the Torah instructions of Yahuwah, your Yahuwah, that you may possess this good land and leave it for an inheritance for your children after you forever.
Mm-hmm. So when we see the word church, according to verse number 8, the church is what? When we see it, we got to pronounce sentence on it. It's polluted for what? In verse 8, it makes a profound statement about what you do with this word church. But really, it is what in verse 8? Give me about three good lines in verse 8. What is this church all about? Verse 8.
Now, therefore, in the sight of all Israel, the congregation of Yahuwah, and in the audience of our Yahuwah.
Right there. So when you see the word church, because we're doing a series called The Fiery Destruction of Christianity and the Great Beast, the Roman Catholic Church. The Roman Catholic Church got it written in the Cataclysm, I hope I'm pronouncing the word right, that no save, no salvation, and the Roman Catholic Church, that is the church you have to be in to get salvation. But I beg you, that is not correct when you open the Bible. It works as long as no book open. But when the book opened up, it cries out to you. Church is polluted by the whole great congregation of the children of Israel. That is the biblical way you use the word church. Now, let's go back now. We got that out the way. Now, let's go back and look at some prophecy now. But I tell you what, let's go to end-time prophecy first. Now, end-time prophecy, we want to go there first, but I think I need to set the stage to get there. I need to set the stage to get there, Sister G. Israel. I need to make sure something do not exist when we get there for this tape's sake. I need to take a look at something. And the book of Judges. I need to take a look at something and first. I need to look at Judges 2, 1, 2, and 8. I need to take a look at Judges 1, 2, and verse 8. Is that Judges I want? No, it's 1. Let me see. You know, I want Judges 1, 2, and 8. Somehow I want on 1, 2, and verse 8. What did it say that? 1, 2, and 8.
Judges, chapter 1, verses 2 and 8.
Yeah, chapter
Judges,
1, 1, 2, and 8.
Oh, 1. Judges, chapter 1, verses 1 through 2 and 8. Now, after the death of Oshea, it came to pass that the children of Israel, asked Yahuwah, saying, "Who shall go up for us against the Canaanites first to fight against them?" 2. And Yahuwah said, "Yahdah Judah shall go up. Behold, I have delivered the land into his hand." Verse 8. Now the children of Yahdah Judah had a fault against Jerusalem, polluted for the Jebusites, and had taken it and smitten it with the edge of the sword and set the city on fire.
Mm-hmm. But in this point right here, it's not polluted until this happened. So we find out, matter of fact, I got to bag up. Since you brought it that way, I got to bag up a little bit. It's not polluted. It's polluted after this point. This is called the destruction of this name right here, and this is called the biblical records of it. But let's bag up to the 10th chapter, verse 1, and let's see this name is live and well. Let's bag up to Hosea 10:1, and we're going to find this name is live and well. And we're going to find out about this name right here, because when we get down the road, we understand that we got to pronounce sentence on it, but this name is live and well. let's see this name live and well in the 10th chapter of Hosea. Just read the way you see it. We're going to see this name is live and well. Let's take it on down to chapter, pick up verse 1, and take it down to verse 5. Let's see how live and well this name is. Come on.
Hosea chapter 10, verses 1 through 5. Now, it came to pass when Adonizedek, king of Jerusalem, had heard how Hosea had taken A and had utterly destroyed it, as he had done to Jericho and his and her king, so he had done to A and her king, and how the inhabitants of Gibeon had made peace with Israel and were among them, too, that they feared greatly because Gibeon was a great city as one of the royal cities, and because it was greater than A, and all the men thereof were mighty. 3. Wherefore Adonizedek, king of Jerusalem, sent unto Hoham, king of Hebron, and unto Piram, king of Jarmuth, and unto Japheth, king of Lachish, and unto Deber, king of Eglon, saying, 4. Come up unto me and help me, that we may smite Gibeon, for it has made peace with Hosea and the children of Israel. 5. Therefore, the 5 kings of the Amorites, the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, the king of Lachish, the king of Eglon, gathered themselves together and went up, and they all and all their hosts, and encamped before Gibeon, and made war against it.
Mm-hmm. And skip down to verse 23. We're watching the history of the king of Jerusalem live and well, but the king of Jerusalem is up under the Jebusites. Verse 22 and 23.
Verses 22 and 23. Then said Hosea, open the mouth of the cave, and bring out those 5 kings unto me out of the cave. 23. And they did so, and brought forth those 5 kings unto him out of the cave, the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, the king of Lachish, and the king of Eglon.
Mm-hmm. So you see, so there go the king of Jerusalem. So Hosea said, bring that old king of Jerusalem out. I got something I want to put on him in 25 and 26. What do you say?
Verse 25 and 26. And Hosea said unto them, fear not, nor be dismayed. Be strong and of good courage, for thus it shall Yahweh do to all your enemies against whom you fight. 26. And afterward Hosea smote them and slew them and hanged them on 5 trees, and they were hanging upon the trees until the evening.
So who is children of Israel number one enemy in verse 23? Who is they number one enemy in verse 23?
And they did so, and brought forth those 5 kings unto him out of the cave, the king of Jerusalem.
Ain't that something? So the king of Jerusalem is the number one enemy to the children of Israel. So you have no association with this word called Jerusalem, because now we got the foundation of it, That is your number one enemy. The king, the name called Jerusalem, which is the Jebusites, that is your number one enemy. That's why you have to know more about who you are, but you won't be saying, well, we're going to the Holy Land, Jerusalem, and pray to the man in the air. See, that's called bad teaching, bad understanding. The children of Israel, number one enemy is the word called the peoples of Jerusalem. See, there's it there. There's it right. Now, we're going to go show you what this word really means. And we'll let it speak for itself. We'll let the word speak for itself. Let's go to the book of Ezra. And we're going to let it speak for itself. What do the word Jerusalem mean? What do that mean? Ezra chapter 1, verse 2 and 3. Let it read out for himself. Now, they're going to tell you something. The 600 camps, listen real good what the word Jerusalem means after the beatdown. What do the word Jerusalem mean after the beatdown? Let's get it in writing. Let's go to Ezra chapter 1, verse 2 and 3. Let's see what it means according to the Bible.
Ezra chapter 1, verses 2 through 3. Thus it says, Cyrus, king of Persia, the Yahweh of heaven has given me all of the kingdoms of the earth, and he has charged me to build him a temple at Jerusalem, which is in Yahweh Judah. 3.
Ain't that
who
some?
Is
good.
3. Who is there among you of all his people? His Yahweh be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem, which is, and build the temple of Yahweh of Israel. He is Yahweh, which is in Jerusalem, polluted for Yahweh Judah.
You see, right? You know, we got many things to show you, but you have to be able to understand that how they, but they always leave room, and the six anointed camps can see right through the room. So we understand that the word Jerusalem is there, but that's Mr. Jebby. But we know Mr. Jebby lost that battle to Yahweh Judah. So anytime you move into any place, don't you remove their name and put your name there? So your name goes there. Judah goes in place of Jerusalem. So when you see, and they told you all that was, the temple was in Yahweh Judah. So nothing in Jerusalem but misinformation for you. Keep that in your mind. Mr. G. Israel, we're going to shut it off right there. And we'll get a closing statement on you. And that was excellent on your part. You brought out in grand style. We'll check it out right there. And we'll catch you tomorrow at 6:30, eyeball to eyeball on the network on some Dust Ass Yahweh Top Out of 7. You got the close. Come on.
Thank you, Seer Israel, for connecting the books. And Seer Royal, don't be in the congregation of the dead. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
G. Israel, she brought out in grand style. So understand something, see right here. We here to show you how to help yourself. But it starts from you understanding that whatever they have put on the books, seeking to stand up when you open the book up. And that's why we're going to get a lot of more things later on. But right now we're going to and get Mr. Till's final thoughts. And then we'll swing out in Detroit and get up final thoughts and what she brought to the table earlier. And we'll see. Let's go find Mr. Till and get his final thoughts on tape number 21 in Yahweh. What is your final thoughts there, Mr. Till? You on the clock. Mr. Till, you on the clock. Come on. Did WCC? See, you think we're gonna let you get off the hook? Mr. Till gonna be mute behind what you just got through doing. Where's your radio station? You do what you want to do. Mr. Tibbs, we'll catch you tomorrow. Tune in. You got a MUTE and hex on you. Let's run out to Detroit, Michigan, then. Let's see what is the final thoughts on Detroit, Michigan, because she brought out some pretty good information to add to the broadcast. Let's get her final thoughts. Detroit, Michigan, what's your final thoughts in take number 21?
Well, this is a powerful food. There's a Peruvian restaurant about a mile from me, so I go there and eat. But they very rarely have this purple corn drink. So this information is good so that you can do it on your own. If you want to do a garden, or if you want to buy the purple corn seeds from the market, or if you're on a go, if you want to buy the powder. So this is very good to have. It helps with your immunity, and it helps with your blood circulation. So all those things keep you healthy. And I can just recap what I said earlier. It is very good, a powerful antioxidant, and that's noted in the Journal of Nutrition. The CG3 component is what helps you with your obesity and with your diabetes. And it's known as an oxygen-free radical, food group. Also, it lowers your blood pressure, and that's noted in the Journal of Nutritional Science, the 2007. Journal. So that's a good drink that is natural, that won't have all the side effects of other products. Also, it prevents hardening of the arteries. So that, you know, will interfere with your blood flow. So if it's preventing that, that's a good thing. It helps with eye health because it has a deep purple hue to it, and it has lutein in it and zeaxanthin in it. Zeaxanthin. And you can get it in a flower. So you can make other recipes with it besides the purple corn drink. And the recipe for it that you can use is real good. For the purple corn drink is you need a pound of the purple dried corn kernels, 16 cups of water, 3 whole cinnamon sticks, 5 cloves. You need a whole pineapple that's cut up and skinned, and you need like 1.5 cups of honey. You can kind of adjust that to your particular taste. And you need fresh lime juice and a green apple, and you blend that all up and get the juice out of it, and then you strain it. So that's a good drink to have. And then you just have to get some seeds if you want to put them in your garden during the summertime. And you don't have to go to the store. You can make your drink right from out of the garden. So that's the segment on the purple corn drink. And I turn that back over to the seer of Israel, Seed Royal.
Hallelujah, Yahweh. Right, you know. You know, it don't take much to get those seeds grinning ear to ear. Like I said, again, anything you add to the broadcast, it was all about. It's all about adding to the broadcast. One thing about it, the corn in 7824 come from heaven. And when you got the corn in and every one of your meals, to help your blood system, it'll build your immune system up. Your immune system won't be worried about who bumping to you or watching that one eye Satan. When that one eye Satan tell you now you can resume back to normal activity over there in Mississippi, Texas, California. They said, now you all right. But I'm going to tell you, see, right? I'm telling you what the Bible's saying. How you build your immune system up, you put your Yahweh first and do what he tell you to do. That's the key. Then he will make sure you all right. But that's a tough thing to believe is Yahweh. And that one eye Satan is tearing the best of them up. But sooner or later, they're going to break out of it. All right, good enough. We understand that. Let's get back to what we was working on. Let's see if we find the mothers. Let's see if we find the mothers, and we'll see what the mothers got what they're working with. We'll run around and see if we find Mother E, Mother Z, and when you meet the mothers out of Claiborne, for the loud voice, you say, Mother E, Israel, Abba Yagda Judah, Mother Saint, Yahweh be with you now, see you right here.
Yahweh bless you, see you, Israel, or see you, Lord, hallelujah.
Excellent, Mother E. Now, let's get back to it, so we clear that we got a lot of teaching we got to do. We got a lot of things we got to do. But I want to kind of so we here now. We're going to be thumbing around with a word called Jerusalem. We know it's polluted for Yah God Judah. We can't keep thumbing around when we got the history. And Jerusalem was hung by our folk. They hung Mr. Jerusalem. Number one enemy for the children of Israel was Mr. Jerusalem, the Jebusites. That's the number one enemy. We're not gonna drill on that. We want to get back to where we was at. I want to get back to what we was on about. We found some great things that. And I need to go and get a little bit more out of. We read about. We was reading about Yahweh Judah polluted his Jerusalem. We was reading about that. But we was also reading about you look for your mate. But now we got to make sure is this for every, that conversation for everybody. We going to find out was that conversation for everybody or was it was a certain group that conversation was for. Let's go and read in Isaiah, and then we're going to tie it all in. Let's go see what the seer got to say about it. Everything we just got through reading, we read some good stuff. Let's go to Isaiah 65. Let's see what the seer got to say, because, see, John's going to pull this right here, and we're going to tie it all in. Let's go to Isaiah 65, verse 17 down to verse 24. Let's see if we start tying some things in now. So we clear that Isaac was a type, and the woman was a type of showing you what Yahweh going to do on a massive scale for you to come in, just like Rebecca was to come in to Isaac. That was a type of a double meaning that we read in the 14th chapter of St. John 14:1-2. That was a type of Yahweh gathering a people, but we ain't got no name on this people yet. But that was a type. That was the world seeing that part. But we're going to show you the other side to that, to show you what they really saying by using the prophecy of Isaiah 65:17-24. Mother E, you're on the clock. Come on.
The book of Isaiah, chapter 65:17-24. Verse 17 reads, "For behold, I created new heaven and a new earth, and the form shall not be remembered, nor come into mind." Verse 18, "But be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I created. For behold, I created Jerusalem polluted for Yahweh Judah, a rejoicing, and her people a joy." Verse 19, "And I will rejoice in Yahweh Judah, and joy in my people, and the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying." Verse 20, "There shall be no more stench and incense of days, nor an old man that has not filled his days. For the children shall die and 100 years old, but the sinners, being 100 years old, shall be accused." Verse 21, "And they shall build houses and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit thereof." Verse 22, "They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat, for as the day of a tree, or the day of my people, and my elect shall long enjoy the work of thy hand." Verse 23, "They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth for trouble, for they are the seed of blessing of the Yahweh, and their offspring with them." Verse 24, "And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and while they are yet speaking, I will hear."
So you see, he's talking about a people, but he ain't got no name on it, but we just about know what he's talking about. See, this is the prophecy. See, they got in the Roman Catholic Church a purgatory. They say your loved ones is down, and then you can pray them up in a way. But the Bible's saying that this ball game gonna be what the Bible's saying, verse 25. What is the Bible saying in verse 25 there, Mother E? What is the Bible saying in verse 25?
Book of Isaiah, chapter 65, verse 25. "The wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like a bullock, and the dust shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my righteous mountain," said the Yahweh.
So you're gonna put a fix on the wolf to lay down with the lamb. You know that ain't going on right now. It must be prophecy. If you catch the wolf close to a lamb, the lamb will be inside the wolf's belly. And see, they should together. And the lion shall crawl like the bullock. Good, it ain't going on. You go around in it, you catch a lion now. And if he see you, you're going to be the straw. But he gonna change his demeanor to be like a straw. And another thing, he said, even the dust shall be the serpent meat. He said, the serpent, you know, you kept that old snake out of town. You think that old snake, he gonna do some damage to you? He said, I'm, you had a snake eating dust. So, you know, this is prophecy on the left side of the book. We clear how it's gonna be, because we can read exactly how it's gonna be. And all this gonna be, he said, and they shall not hurt nor destroy in my righteous government that will mount in me. So you see, see right here, I don't see the Roman Catholic Church in this at all. Have you seen it? So we're reading the prophecy of it, but I want to back up to the second chapter and just get a second witness before we go and look at the name of who you're talking about. Let's back up to the second chapter of Isaiah. See, remember, six anointed counts. The Bible tells the whole story. Left the 17 nations bumped the gums, but one thing about it, going into the Bible, they got to put on their case according to the Bible. Let's see what it says in Isaiah chapter 2. Let's tie this in Isaiah 2:2, and we'll read down to verse number 6. Isaiah chapter 2:2-6. Mother E, let's see if we tie all this. See, we know the story. It's just the point of it is, we just don't believe the story because we don't want to put Yahuwah at the head of the story. Let's see what's going on. And Isaiah 2:2-6.
Book Isaiah, chapter 2, verse 2-6. Verse 2 reads, and it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountains of Yahuwah's temple shall establish in the top of the mountain, and shall be exalted above hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. Verse 3, and many people shall go and say, follow you, and let us go up to the mountain of Yahuwah, to the temple of Yahuwah of Israel. Jacob will do it for Israel, and he will teach us of his way, and we will walk in his path. For I, or Jabnah Judas, the southern king, shall go forth the Torah instruction, and the word of Yahuwah from Jabnah Judas, the southern king. Verse 4, and he shall judge among the nations, and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their sword into plowshares, and their spear into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up swords against nations, neither shall they learn war anymore. Verse 5, O family of Israel, come ye, and let us walk in the light of the Yahuwah. Verse 6, therefore thus has forsaken the people, and the family of Jacob, Israel, because they need replenished from the east, and are two sails like the Philistines, and they pleases themselves and the children of strangers.
You see, he said, therefore, thou have forsaken thy people, the 12 tribes of Israel, because they got some soothsaying in them. They love the other nations, whatever they got, and you love to hang around a stranger. You love to look at somebody look like somebody else. He said, that what you like to do. You love to hang around a stranger, not looking at what Yahuwah got on his book. You don't want to look at nobody and look like you. You want to look at the stranger. He said, you love the stranger, and that's why Yahuwah have forsaken you, because you don't believe what he got written in this book. But he's saying that a lot of you are going to come out of it. A lot of you going to come out of it. That's why I come on Network Humble. Because a lot of you going to say, you know, I got to can everything that's been said. I mean, everything I learned, I got to can all that. Now, let's tie that in from, we went from Genesis to St. John to Ephesians. And let's tie all this in. Before you tie all this in, let me show you something got to be done in the book of Ruth, chapter 1, 16 and 17. Let me show you the mindset that you got to have in the book of Ruth. R-U-T-H, chapter 1, 16 and 17. Let me show you the mindset you got to have. To make this work, this is your mindset you got to check into. R-U-T-H, chapter 1, 16 and 17. Let's see what's going on here, Mother Eve.
Book of Ruth, chapter 1, verses 16 and verse 17. Verse 16 reads, and Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whether thou goest, I will go, and whether thou lord, I will lord. Thy people shall be my people, and thou Yahweh, my Yahweh. Verse 17. Where thou didst,
where thou diest,
will I die, and there will I be buried. The Yahweh do so unto me, and more also, if all be depart, if all but death part thee and me.
You say the mindset you got to have is the mindset our Sister Ruth had. Listen, let me tell you something. Whatever you own, I'm on. Wherever you going, I'm going. I'm following wherever you at. Whatever you own, I'm on. I'm going to follow. I'm going to follow. You got to learn how to be a great follower. Especially when the six anointing camps got the unction from Yahweh to point the way. You got to be a great follower. You got to know how to be a great follower of the six anointing camps. The world going to fall in line sooner or later. Of the six anointed camps, but they got to be a great, they're going to be a great follower. Because that's where he ordained to be a follower. Now, the Roman Catholic Church says, every day you pray to the Rosemary Bees, every day. He said, always pray, take you 20, 30 minutes out to pray to the Rosemary Bees. That was the Roman Catholic Church. And everybody got the bees. The bees cost $19.50 up to $30, $40, $50, depends on how much money you want to spend. To get you a cross and some rosemary bees. It's up to you. But we're going to see what the Bible say, what you're supposed to do. We're going to see what the Bible say. Matthew 17, verse 5. Let's see what the Bible say you're supposed to do. Let's see, can that stand up when they say, the Roman Catholic Church says, and who has been bewitched is the nine tribes of Israel. The nine tribes of Israel is 100%. Made a couple of pinch off. They're all off into Catholicism, the Roman Catholic Church. And we're not going to battle against you. We're going to show you where you're out of order. That's all. Through scripture. You say that you're supposed to pray to the Rosemary Bees.
Mm-hmm.
You say pray to Guadalupe. We ain't going to wrestle with you on it, but we're going to be like the Bereans and see if they stand up with the word of Yahweh. Let's see what Matthew 17, verse 5 says you got to do. What it says in 17,
Matthew,
verse 5 in Matthew.
Matthew, chapter 17, verse 5. While he yet speak, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear you him.
what did the Bible tell us to do, Marie? According to that verse, what did the Bible say we supposed to do?
Hear you him. Hear the song.
I hear you, Marie. I hear you. And let's go a little further then. Let's see what Mary said. Now, you said, Rosemary B, you pray to Mary, and Mary be your intercession for you. Let's see what Mary said you do. St. John 2, verse 5. Now, we're going to see what Mary said you're supposed to do. We're going to see, do she contradict anything that the Father in heaven said? We're going to see what Mary said out of her own mouth, what she's supposed to do. Let's see that she said, grab the rosemary beads. Go to St. John 2, verse 5. Let's see what Mary said you're supposed to do.
The book of St. John, chapter 2, verse 5. His mother said unto the servant, whatsoever he said unto you, do it.
Read that again now, Mother. You mean Mary made a statement? You mean they got Mary talking? And let's see, what did she say again? What she say in 2 verse 5?
His mother said unto the servant, whatsoever that wise son said unto you, do it.
Yeah. So Mary said, see, she didn't tell you go grab no rosemary bees and hold on to it tight. You know, they even got people that been in car accidents, you know, losing their life. But they say, you know, what they noticed was in their hand was the rosemary bees in their hand. Mary ain't said that. So Mary did not tell you to pray to the rosemary bee. She said, I'm the mother to Yahweh the Son. But whatever he say, servant, you hear you him. That's what she said. Now she's going to go a little further. Let's go to Luke chapter 1. So Mary said, same thing the Father said. Hear what my boy got to say. Same thing the Father said. Hear what my boy got to say. Now here go Mary again in Luke chapter 1, verse 36. Verse 39, verse 46, 47, and verse 54 and 55. Let's see Luke chapter 1, verse 36, 39, 46 through 47, 54 and 55. Let's see what's going on here now, Mother Eve. Let's see what, now Mary get ready to talk. Because I'm going to make a statement behind this. Come on.
The book of Luke, chapter 1, verse 36, verse 39, verse 46, 47, 54, and 55. Book of Luke, chapter 1, verse 36, 3. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. Verse 39. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hilly country with haste unto a city of Judah. Verse 46. And Mary said, my soul doeth magnify the Yahweh. Verse 47. And my spirit has rejoiced in Yahweh, my Savior. For he has regarded the low estate of his handmaid. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. Verse 54. He has opened He has hope in his servant, Israel, in remembrance of his mercy. Verse 55, as he speaks to our father, Abraham, and to his seed forever.
Hmm. So Mary just said she needs a Savior, and when she in the kite, she wants some Yahweh the Son, and then she also said he spake until, and when he opened his mouth, he spoke to the children of Israel. So I don't see the Roman Catholic Church in this role. I don't see what the roles Mary Bees is about according to the Bible, because Mary ain't saying nobody grab no bees. What you need to do is hear my son, and whatever he say, do it. Same thing the Father said. Now let's follow up on a little bit of that. Now let's go and see. Now we find out that the children of Israel will not be going up and away, but the 17 nations, they're going to go up and away. Now we're going to see exactly where the children of Israel are going to be at, according to Scripture. We're going to End Time Prophecy in 21st chapter of Revelation. And we're going to find out exactly what's going on in writing, but we can be clear that up and away story is for the 17 nations. So anytime you're at a funeral and it's a up and away, that's the 17 nations in your head. It's not Bible in your head. This is what's going to happen. And purgatory means that you be in a state of waiting, and you can pray your loved ones up and away. So they is already, the Catholic Church got them already ready to be leaving here going up and away. But we're going to find out where the children of Israel are going to be at. See, once you know you Israel, you find where Israel is going to be at. Let's see where Israel is going to be at. Revelation 21, verse 3, 10 through 12. We're going to find out where is the children of Israel going to be at. That up, we need to find out where they're going to be at, the children of Israel. We're going and find out where the children of Israel. Now, we know the 17 nations is going up and away. We're clear about that. But where is the children of Israel going to be? Revelation 21, verse 3, get down to 10, 11, and 12 says what?
Okay. The book of Revelation, chapter 21, verse 3 and 10 to 12. Verse 3. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle, the temple of Yahweh is with man, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and Yahweh himself shall be with them and be their Yahweh. Verse 10. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, that righteous Jerusalem, produced for Yahweh Judah, descended out of heaven from Yahweh. Verse 11. Having the greatness of Yahweh and her righteousness, her life was like unto a stone, most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear and crystal. Verse 12, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gate 12 sinister spirits, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the family of Israel.
So, when it's all said and done, it's going to be 12 gates, and he had 12 names written on it. And the 12 names were the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, we got to find out what is the 12 tribes of Israel's name. So, what's going to be written for you can be clear. See, whatever tribe you're from, you got to know what gate to go in through, just like it's go back and find out what gate did Mary go through. Let's see what she went through in Luke chapter 1, verse 39. Let's see what gate Mary went through. See, you got to know, that's why I said earlier, I said, I hear you big digging terrorists at a Roman Catholic church. I said, Mary appeared to you. I said, what did Mary look like? The Mary looked like, and she mixed, and she looked like the Aztecs and stuff like that. That's the way it got according to the Bible, according to the tradition of mine. Mary gonna go through one of them, go through one of them tribes. Let's get to what tribe Mary rehearsed herself going through in Luke 1, verse 39. Let's see what tribes. There's gonna be 12 gates, and the names on the 12 gates is the 12 tribes of Israel. Let's see what gate Mary gonna go through in Luke 1, 39. Let's see what Mary gonna go through. 139.
The book of Luke. Book of Luke, chapter 1, verse 39. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste unto a city of Jabda to southern kingdom.
Ain't that something? Mother E, when Mary get woke up and it's 12 gates, What gate would Mary go through when she finally is woke up to from some ball sleep? What gate is she going through according to scripture?
The gate of Yavna Judah.
Ain't that something? Look at old Mother E. That makes me happy. See, Mary gonna go through the gate of Yavna Judah. That was gate Mary gonna go through. Shit, that is a shadow of Mary getting warmed up going through Yagda Judah. And what do the gates of Yagda Judah look like according to Jeremiah 14, verse 2? Let's see what do the gates of Yagda Judah look like according to Jeremiah 14, verse 2. Let's see why she went through that gate. Let's see why. 14, verse 2.
Book of Jeremiah, chapter 14, verse 2. Yavna Judah mourn, and the gates that are languid, they are black unto the ground, and the cry of Yavna Judah.
That's good,
Rip. Rip,
read again. She went through what day and day what? According to Jeremiah, day what again, our mother? So she went through
Jeremiah.
A day. Yeah.
Jeremiah chapter 14, verse 2. Yavna Judah mourn, and the gates that are flame, they are black unto the ground. And the cry of Yavna Judah
right
is gone up.
That's all we need. That's all we need, that part right there. So she went through a gate where, and now if you look at your chart, Judah, and let's see why she, you got your 12 tribe chart there, Mother E. I want to look at what.
Take a minute.
Yeah, do you have your 12 chart? And I want you to tell me exactly. So we can talk a little bit. So she went through the gates where Judah went through. And what is Judah called? I need the 12 chart. I need, although I'm looking right at it, but I need for you to tell me, Judah, what is they called today according to the 12 chart of Israel? What is Judah called?
I got it.
You got it. Okay.
The
American black. The American black Negro. So Mary went through the gates of the Negro, the American black. Why did she go down through the Negro? Why did she go through the gates of the American black, because that's what you see, right? The Mary of Bible. That's why I asked, I said, y'all praying to Mary in the Rose. I said, what do she look like? What is y'all praying to? And we're going to talk about, there was, you know, this, I had a memo, and they got this guy called, and they were saying that was a disgrace of what they were doing. They was worshiping George Floyd, the guy that got, that they was calling him Jesus. And they said, well, I wonder why would they call him Jesus? He not Jesus. He not Jesus. Well, no, he's not Jesus, but I'll tell you one thing. George Floyd looked more like the man that you, you say, than the one that he looked more like that. Period. That's what he looked like. Because how can I bring this out? Let's go to the book. Let's run to the book. Enoch 46. Go to Enoch 46. See, it's just so much just information is everywhere. And the only one going to bring it out is Voices of the True Israelites, the Six Anointed Camps. Let's go to the first book of Enoch 46. And let's see what Enoch said he was looking for. 46 chapter 1 through 6. Let's go to the book of Enoch. And we're going to see, what did Enoch see? What did he see in the 46th chapter, verses 1 down to verse 6? Let's talk about Enoch for a minute, Mother Israel. Enoch, 46, 1 through 6. What did it say?
The book of Enoch, chapter 46, verses 1 through 6. Verse 1. And there I saw one whose face looked ancient. His head was white like wool. And with him was another being whose countenance had the appearance of a man. And his face was full of righteousness, like one of the righteous ministering spirits. Verse 2. And I asked the ministering spirit who went with me and showed me all the hidden things concerning that son of man, whom he was and where he came from and why he went with the ancient one. And he answered and said to me, verse 3, this is the Son of Man who has righteousness, with whom dwelleth righteousness, and whom reveal all transgression, sin of that which is hidden, because the Yahweh of Spirit has chosen him, and whose lot has permitted before the Yahweh of Spirit and righteousness and is forever. Verse 4. And this Son of Man whom you have seen shall rise up like kings, and the mighty form there setteth, and the strong from their throne, and shall loose the ring of the strong and break the teeth of the sinner. Verse 5. And he shall put down the king from their throne, and kingdom become their do not exist exalt. To praise him, Lord Hama acknowledged who restored the kingdom on earth. Verse 6. verse 6. And he shall make the stone hang their head, and shall fear them with shame and darkness. Shall he there dwell, and worms shall be their bed, and they shall have no hope of rising from their bed, because they do not exalt the name of the Yahweh of spirit.
You mean Enoch is telling you something? What did Enoch say in verse 1 again, 46:1? Enoch said what in 46:1? What did he say he seen? Now this Enoch, the seventh from heaven, he said he seen somebody, and he seen two beings. And what did he say he seen in 46:1? What did Enoch say he seen? The seventh from heaven. What did he say he see that, Moses?
The book of Enoch, chapter 46:1. And there I saw one whose face was ancient. His head was white like wool. And with him was another being whose countenance had the appearance of a man. And his face was full of grace. Like one of the righteous ministry spirits.
So in 46:1, he says he's seen a man which would be known as the son of the highest with woolly hair. So he's seen with hell, white woolly hair on his head. That's what he say he's seen. Enoch said he's seen white woolly hair on his head. That was Enoch said he's seen. Now, what did Daniel say he seen in 7:9? What did Daniel say he seen in 7:9? Now, these are ones say they looking at somebody. And they seen a man out from heaven. He seen a man with woolly hair on his head. And it was a son. And so the son way back there, yeah. That's why he told Joseph and Mary. He said, I got to be about my father's business. Because Enoch says that he was back there in his day. Going to Daniel. Going to the book of Daniel. And let's see what Daniel said he seen. Hey, are we going to see what Daniel said he's a witness to in 7:9? What did Daniel say he see there, Mother E?
The book of Daniel, chapter 7:9. I beheld till the throne was cast down, and the Ancient of Days, it said, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the blue wool. His throne was like the fiery flame.
Uh-huh. That's good. So he seen, now Daniel said he seen the Father, and his hair was like pure wool. Now, you know what pure wool means. So are you, right. Sometimes you got the grandbabies over and you say, God, dog, there's some hair on your head. I can't. Ouch, you hurt my head. Ouch. Pure wool on their head. Pure wool. Pure wool hair. You know who got pure wool hair. That was Daniel said he seen. That was Daniel said he seen. Pure wool. Okay, so you got pure wool hair. And in 1:14 of Revelation, what else went on in 1:14 and 15 of Revelation?
Okay. Revelation chapter 1.
Uh-huh. Verse 14 and 15.
Revelation chapter 1. Verse 14 and 15. His head and his hair was white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. 15. And his feet like unto fine thread, as if they were burnt in a furnace. And his, the Yahweh the Son's voice, as the sound from many waters.
So you see, so now end time prophecy said, John said, he seen Yahweh the Son had a garment on again, pure wool hair, and feet look like they burnt. You know what? You know, hey woman, mm-hmm. I smell something in that oven. But you know what? Mm-hmm. I left the biscuits over too long. Woman, you gonna burn them biscuits up. Make some more over there and hurry up and get it, make it up. See? You burn the biscuits up. So when you burn the biscuits up, what color they look like? That's the way his feet look like. So I asked him about all this praying they doing. Who they praying to? Is you praying to the one in the Bible, or you praying to the one that been a make-believe? Let's go to Daniel again, chapter 10, 6. Daniel seen something else. Daniel seen even a little bit more. So he now his feet is like fine brass if they burnt in a furnace. But Daniel said, wait a minute, I got something. I seen something a little bit more in 10 verse 6. I seen him with a beryl, meaning a green. I seen him with a green garment on. He had a green garment on. I seen him with a green garment on in 10 verse 6. What it says in Daniel 10 verse 6?
Book of Daniel, chapter 10, verse 6. His body also was like the beryl, and his face as the pure of lightning, eyes as lamp of fire, and his arms as feet, and his arms and his feet like the color of polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude.
He said his arms and his feet was like color. You know they got the movies called, you know, you watch the slavery movies, you got the white fountain and the color fountain. Now, you know who's going to the color fountain, right? Right. So he had, he was washing his arms and his feet like color. So he was color man. So now, who are we praying to? The children of Israel recognize what he looked like. But the 17 nations praying somebody look like somebody else. Huh. I ain't going to work with the Bible open. See, it ain't work with the Bible. So that's how Yahweh the Son. Now let's go to Jeremiah 29. He's going to say something to you. He's going to say something to me. He said, listen to me now. I'll tell you what. Go to 8:21. Let's see what Jeremiah tell you what he looked like. Jeremiah gonna tell you what he looked like too. You know it's written in the Bible what Jeremiah say. He looked like. Let's see what he say. 8:21. What does Jeremiah look like in 8:21?
Look at Jeremiah, chapter 8, verse 21. For the hurt of the daughter of my people, am I hurt? I am black. Astonishment has taken hold on me.
What did Jeremiah say he is?
But the hurt of the daughter.
But what did he say he is?
Jeremiah said he is astonished.
And he said what?
Wait a minute now. Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 21. For the hurt of the daughter of my people am I hurt. I am black.
What are you saying? What did Jeremiah say?
I am black. Black.
Jeremiah
say? I am black.
Jeremiah say he's black. That was Jeremiah say. Jeremiah say he's black. The whole tribe of Judah said they black. So where is all these pictures we saying that he, this mixed Guadalupe's and all this mixed up, not according to the Bible? Mary, Yahweh the Son, the Bible, Jeremiah, children of Israel, Southern Kingdom, they black. Many shades of brown, according to the Bible. So let's go to the 29th chapter now, Jeremiah. So Jeremiah, he's going to tell people something, and we're going to see what he tells these people. He's going to tell them something in Jeremiah 29, verse 1, 4, 11 through 14. He's going to look at a people, and he's going to tell them something. Let's see what he said there, Mother E. Jeremiah 29, verse 1, 4, 11 through 14. Let's see. You know, you can really do this by eating popcorn and just ran back the word of Yahuwah. That's when you know you got the word of Yahuwah. All you got to do is be listening to this mouth to your voice. He says, yeah, now go to Jeremiah 29 and do 1, 4, 11 through 14. Okay? What did that say?
Okay. Book of Jeremiah, chapter 29, verse 1, verse 4, and 11 through 14. Verse 1. Now these are the words of the letter that Jeremiah the seer sent from Yahweh Judah, sons of Canaan, unto the residue of the elders, which were cherished away, captive, and to the priest, and to the seer, and to all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had cherished away, captive, from Yahweh Judah, the southern king, to Babylon. Verse 4. Thus said the Yahweh of hosts, the Yahweh of Israel, unto all that are carried away captive, whom I carried away captive, whom I have caused to be carried away from Yahweh Judah, the southern king, unto Babylon. Verse 11. For I know the thought that I think towards you, said the Yahweh, thought of peace and not of evil, to give you an excellent end. Verse 12. Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. Verse 13. And you shall seek me and find me, when you shall search for me with all your mind. Verse 14. And I will be found of you, said the Yahweh, and I will turn away your captive, and I will gather you from all nations and from all the places where I have driven you, said the Yahweh, and I will bring you again into the place which I called you to be carried away captive.
See the man said? Let's go to Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 through 9 and 15. So you see the man saying, now just do 7 through 9, that's all. Galatians chapter 6, 7 through 9. You see the man saying? He said, I got the thoughts for you. I know what I got for you, but you got to do right. You're doing that 1 hour Satan. He said, you got to put that 1 hour Satan down. Hey, you got to get in them 6 morning camps and get some giddy about yourself. That's what he's saying. He said, I'm waiting on you. You got to put that one-eyed Satan down. You trust more on that one-eyed Satan. And what they're saying over there in Mississippi and California and Texas, you know, you don't trust none of them. I'm saying that the seals in the 6 morning camps are telling you. Yeah. Let's see what it says in Galatians chapter 6, 7 through 9.
Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 through 9, verse 7. Be not deceived, Yahweh is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Verse 8. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corrupt. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reach life everlasting. Verse 9. And let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not.
That big talk.
Verse 13.
Verse 7 again. That big talk there, Mother. a big topic there. What do you say in the verse number 7 again?
Verse 7. Be not deceived, for Yahweh is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap.
He said, listen, he said, I'm going to get you. He said, now, be clear to understand one thing. I'm going to get you. He said, I'm going to get you if you keep on doing what you do. I want you to be clear. I'm going to get you. Whatever you sow, that's what you're going to reap. If you let that one-eyed Satan hem you up, that one-eyed Satan in you going to pay the price. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And verse 6 and 7 and 15. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6, 7, and 15. So listen good. He said, listen. He said, I'm going to get you. And the fear is telling you, 6 and on the capitate, I'm going to get you. You keep on hemming yourself up behind that one eye Satan, I'm going to get you in time to come. Let's see what he got written in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, 6, 7, and 15.
Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6, 7, and 15. Verse 6.
Mm-hmm.
But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Verse 7. Every man, according as he prospereth in his mind. So let him give not grudging or deceptive, for Yahweh love a cheerful gift. Verse 15. Thanks be to Yahweh for his unspeakable gift.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to Malachi 3. 7 through 12. What does Malachi chapter 3 say, 7 through 12?
Okay. Thank you. Malachi 3. Book of Malachi chapter 3, verse 7 through 12. Verse 7. Even from the day of your youth, even from the day of your father, you are gone away from my ordinance and have not kept him. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, said the Yahweh of hosts. But you said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob Yahweh? Yes, you have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? And tithe and offering. Verse 9. You are cursed that they curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Verse 10. Bring you all the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now, herewith, said the Yahweh of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Verse 11. And I will rebuke the devourer of your for your sake, and he shall not destroy the fruit of your ground. Neither shall your vines cast her fruit before the time, the field, said the Yahweh of hosts. Verse 12. And all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, said the Yahweh of hosts.
But that don't work unless you do what in verse 10? But none of that work unless verse 10 kick in. What verse 10 say?
Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. Bring you all the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now, wherewith, that the Yahweh of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it.
But suppose I don't do that. I suppose you don't do that. But suppose they don't do that. Then what Yahweh got written on that? St. John 10:1, a closing statement. Let's see what Yahweh got written on that. Suppose we drag our feet on what we just got through hearing. Then what do Yahweh thinks about that if we drag our feet on what we just got through hearing according to Scripture? St. John 10:1, he would catch your eyeball on the top part of Sabbath day. What it said in 10:1, and we don't heard what you said, but what do 10:1 say in the closing statement?
St. John chapter 10, verse 1. Truly, truly, I say unto you, he that enters not by the door into the sheepfold, but climb up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber.
Read that again.
Truly, truly, I say unto you, he that enters not by the door unto the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber.
Excellent. Mother E, closing statement to the eyeball to eyeball, top part of Sabbath day. What you got to say behind that? If you do it any other way, Yahweh say you a thief and you a robber. Closing statement, catch you top part of Sabbath day. The flow is yours for your clothes. Come on.
Thank you for praising Yahweh for this class. Thank you for praising Yahweh for the teachers. And thank you for praising Yahweh for the ones that's in the class, Israel, his people. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Excellent. That's Mother E, Mother Z. Catch your eyeball to eyeball. Top part of Saturday. All locations will be open. Get in where you fit in at before it.
Time to spend.